Father, I give you thanks once again that you gather your children from our busy week, from our busy places, that we can come to hear you speak to us. Now, Lord, by your Spirit, would you just calm our hearts, open our minds, Lord, and that you might equip us so that we might serve each other and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Well, we continue in our series through the book of Hebrews. And it's a worthwhile book to explore. And we can only do so briefly on a Sunday. But it's a worthwhile book for you to explore yourself because of the danger, as we learned last week, of people drifting away. That's why people have drifted away in the past. I wouldn't be surprised that people are drifting away even now. And in the future, people continue to drift away. So a study in the book of Hebrews or a letter to the Hebrews is worthwhile to remind us what are the core values, what are the things that we're all about so that we can refocus our minds again. Well, if this is the first time you're here, let's get our bearings right again, what Hebrews is about. What type of letter is the letter to the Hebrews? If I don't know if you can remember, what type of letter is it? It's a sermonic letter, remember? It's a sermon couched in the form of a letter, or a letter that actually has written as a sermon. It was written to certain groups of people. Who was it written to? Well, we know last time it's written to Jewish Christians. And we know that because of the very strong emphasis or the strong reference to the Old Testament, which only Jews would know. But what was the problem with the Jews? Jewish Christians, they wanted to give up and go back. They wanted to give up. They were losing focus, they were losing steam, and they were losing interest. And so what is the message to the letter to, what is the message to the Jewish Christians in the letter to the Hebrews? It is, don't give up. It's a simple message. Don't give up. Don't go back. Keep persevering. And why is that? Because Jesus is better. And how is he better? If you remember what we've learnt in the first few weeks, he's better for a number of reasons, because God has spoken to us through Jesus. He spoke to us in many different ways, but he's spoken most clearly, most loudly, most brilliantly and gloriously through his Son. Who that is Jesus? That's God's Son. And who is Jesus? He's the perfect Saviour who knows how we feel, who actually knows how we feel. Well, today we want to continue on this journey through the letter of Hebrews and explore why it is that we should continue to persevere, why it is that Jesus is better. And so we're going to just dip into chapter 3. We're not going to look at chapter 4. We're going to look at that next week because chapter 3 is so full of stuff. Let's have a look at chapter 3, verse 1. And it starts off by reminding us about our heavenly calling. Look at what he says in chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling. Notice the emphasis, notice that little phrase there, heavenly calling. Heavenly calling. That is to say that God has called us to great things. What is this heavenly calling that God has called us to? Well, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 10, the author reminds us that in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, God has called us to glory. He called us to heavenly glory. What is that heavenly glory? You can see it in the letter of Hebrews, but you can also hear it from other parts of the Bible. Take, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Do you know that the Lord's people will judge the world? That is our ultimate calling. We're called to judge the world. We're called to be rulers of the world. Last week we looked out and says we don't look like anything like that, but one day we will be. We will be the judge of the world. More than that, we will judge angels. It's an astonishing thing that these people were going back to want to worship angels. But the author says, well, why do you want to do that? Because one day we will ourselves be judges of angels. Also, remember what Paul says in Philippians, that one day our lowly bodies will become like his glorious body. We will be transformed. When you look at yourself now, you are wasting away. But one day, as your body decays, it will give way to a transformation which is beyond understanding, beyond imagining. We will be actually transformed into his glorious body. Now, here's the dumb thing. Here is the dumb thing. The dumb thing that for many of us in our world is that we are often trading eternal glorious things for the things of this world which are wasting away and fleeting. We often think that this is heaven. We think that this is what it's all about, and we will invest in the things of this world. We will actually die for the things of the world. We think that this is our destination. There's nothing beyond it. We might say it only in our lips, but in practice, this is our destination. And the Bible says, how stupid can you get? In many ways, we're like people who are living in a place called Smoky Mountains. You ever heard what Smoky Mountain is? This is Smoky Mountain. Smoky Mountain is the garbage dump of the Philippines. And the most astonishing thing is that people live in the garbage dump. And what do? They're constantly scrounging around in this garbage dump where they live, looking for food scraps, looking for clothing, looking for furniture, looking for things that they can give, that they can sell. People live on Smoky Mountain. You can see the streets of Smoky Mountain. This is not the result of some sort of catastrophe or typhoon. This is basically the place that they live in. As a kid, walk down the street. Oftentimes, when we think about our heavenly calling, we are like kids playing in the garbage dump. And we think to ourselves, so this is what it's all about. This is life. This is heaven on earth, so to speak. And you think about it. We are like these kids. We're obsessed. When you think about the things that we're obsessed with, we're obsessed about, does God want me to work there? Does God want me to work there? We spend so much of our time and energy, but we've lost focus that God has called us to much greater things, more glorious things. We're often obsessed about what we want to be like. We want to be like that person. We want to be as smart as that person. We want to be as good looking as that person. But we fail to realize that God has called you to even greater heights and more glorious things. We have forgotten that God has called us to heaven, to glory, to new heavens and new earth, to new life. We have forgotten all that. And so what does the author remind us to do? He therefore reminds us that because you share in this heavenly calling, then fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Now the question has to be asked, why do we need to fix our eyes on Jesus? Why Jesus? And the simple answer is because Jesus is better than Moses. This is the issue he now takes up in chapter 3. Remember, these people wanted to go back to their something that they weren't familiar with, something that they were comfortable. They wanted to go back to Judaism. They wanted to give up on Christianity. They wanted to give up on the gospel. And above all, they wanted to give up on Jesus, because they talked a lot about who this Jesus is. They seemed to say he offered so much, but at the end he delivered so little. So why not go back to Moses? And the big message here is that Jesus is better than Moses. So why go back to Moses? Okay, so why is Jesus better than Moses? Well, this is where he goes on to expand further. Firstly, he reminds us that Jesus is the apostle and high priest. Now you think to yourself, well, what is an apostle? Apostle, we think about the 12 apostles of the New Testament. But we've never come across this idea of Jesus being an apostle. So what do we mean by Jesus being an apostle? Well, the word apostle means, you know what the word apostle means? It's equivalent to ambassador. Apostle is someone who's been sent. He's an official delegate of some high authority. And so you could say that Jesus is the ambassador of God. He is sent by God. You could say that apostle represents God to man, and that's what Jesus did in the most perfect way. if Jesus as the apostle represents God to man, what does the author say? Jesus also? He's also the priest. And what does the priest do? He represents man to God. And so together, Jesus is the perfect mediator. As the apostle, he represents God to man. And as the priest, he represents man to God. He is the perfect mediator. And so in that sense then, Jesus is better than Moses because he is the perfect mediator, which the author brought up in chapter 2. But why is Jesus better than Moses? The other reason is because Jesus is faithful. Well, we know that Moses was faithful. We see that in chapter 3, verse 2. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful. But notice what he says. He himself was faithful. That is, Jesus was faithful like Moses. So Jesus is the apostle. He's the high priest. He's as faithful as Moses. So why do you want to abandon Jesus for Moses? Because he's just as good as Moses. But the guy wants to actually go further. He says, not just good as Moses, he's actually better than Moses. How so? Because Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Worthy of greater than Moses. In other words, you could say that Moses had great glory. They knew that. They saw Moses go up there on top of the mountain in the presence of God. They saw Moses come down from the mountain with their head shining with glory. But this guy is saying that Jesus is even greater than Moses. You could say that Moses had glory like the light of a candle. Jesus' glory like the light of the noonday sun. But note the word worthy. It is not something that he just took on upon himself. It was not something that was randomly given to him. Jesus is actually worthy of it. He deserves this glory which is greater than that of Moses. And why is that? How is it that he is deserving of this glory? Well, note this. Verse 5. Moses was faithful as a servant. Moses was faithful as a servant. Moses did great things. He was faithful to the very end. He led his people out of Egypt to the promised land. He provided, protected, he interceded for them. But at the end of the day, good as he was a servant. A servant. But what about Jesus? Note that. But Christ is faithful what? As a son. As a son. Think about it like this. Moses was a servant. Summarize it. Jesus was the son. That's why it's ludicrous to abandon Jesus to go back to Moses, because Moses was a good servant. But Jesus was the Son of God. We learned that back in chapter 1, didn't we? Think about it like this, right? Do you know who this guy is? Sundar Pichai. Do you know who he is? Anyone know who he is? Anyone know who he is? CEO. He is, that's right, he is Larry Page's right-hand man. Now let me ask you the question. Who is the heir of Larry Page's empire, Google? Do you know who it is? It's his kids. You know who his kids are? Well, no one actually knows who his kids are. Do you realize that? You search on the internet and you'll not find nothing about his kids, because he wants to keep them secret. He doesn't want anyone to bother him. But the most important thing here we need to understand is this, right? The most important thing is this. No matter how good the CEO is, no matter how close the CEO might be to Larry Page, the founder of Google, he is nothing compared to his kids. Nothing compared to his kids. Because as far as Larry Page is concerned, the CEO is great and important. He's done a wonderful job. But he's still just the CEO. My kids are my kids. And what this guy is saying here is that Moses was a great servant. Jesus is my son. You know, you think about it, right? We are always looking for great leaders, aren't we? Leaders and saviors. Leaders who will bring us to our promised land. We're looking for leaders who will show the way, who will give us deliverance, people who will inspire us, people who will change the world, solve our problems, so to speak. But the reality is, what they do in the end is still nothing compared to what Jesus done. They might inspire us, make us feel good. They might change things, but only for a moment. But what does Jesus do? These people are nothing more than servants, at best, creatures, politicians, social activists. But where does Jesus fit in? He is the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the one who holds all things in the palm of his hands, who holds the whole universe by his words. And so the word, therefore, is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's from verses 1 to 5. He now, having said that, he wants to warn them. He wants to warn them if they let Jesus go. And so he wants to warn them, don't miss out. How so? Because in verse 6 he says this, Christ is faithful as the Son over God's household, and we are his household. Indeed, if we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. What's he actually saying there? He's actually saying, hold on to Jesus, otherwise you're going to miss out. Don't lose your confidence. Don't give up on the hope that we have. Don't give up, otherwise you're going to miss out. Now, it's important to note here, right, what he is not saying. He is not saying that we can never be assured of our salvation. He's not saying that. He's not saying that you'll become a Christian, you can lose it. You can, you know, there's a danger. But what he's saying, because the Bible's message is the strong message that we are safe and secure in Jesus. You are very safe and secure. But what he's saying here is don't be stupid and lose your faith. What so? How so? Well, has anyone been on these crazy rides up in movie world? I went up there with my family once. You know what this ride is? Who know what this ride is? Superman Escape. That's when you go up the dizzy rides. And, you know, when I first went up there, I looked down and said, well, that's very exciting. You kids go and I'll pray for you down here, right? And they went up there and noticed they did it. And they came down, that was awesome, let's do it again. Yeah, you go do it and I'll pray for you. And then there was this one bat wing space shot. You go up and then they just drop you. I don't know why, but they were so excited. And then there's this lethal weapon. I don't know why. Now, what is the key? Is it dangerous? Well, you know, there's some fatalities. But the possibility of actually getting hurt in this one in about 200 million, I think, of actually thing. These rides are crazy, but they're actually safe. Actually safe and secure. What's the key to safety and security? Well, know what that says? For your safety, remain seated with hands, arms, feet and legs inside the vehicle. See the same thing, remain seated with hands, arms, feet inside the vehicle. And the same thing again and again and again. See, what's the Bible saying here? You are safe and secure in Jesus. You are safe and secure in Jesus. But what God is saying is simply this. Hold on. Hold on. What? To Jesus. So you're on a crazy ride, an amazing ride where God has rescued you from sin and now is taking you on a ride and bringing you to the promise, and you are safe and secure in Jesus. He's making sure he's buckled you in, strapped you in tight. And he says, just hold on to Jesus, don't let go, and don't be stupid. And so that's what he's saying there. You are safe and secure if you keep holding on to Jesus. Now, here's the funny thing. God has to keep saying this message again and again and again. You know why? Because we're pretty stupid people. And so what does he say? Listen up. I've given you the safety warning, so listen to what I've got to say. And so what does he go on to say? Well, he says this in verses 7 onwards. As the Holy Spirit says, just an interesting note there. When you read the Bible, you're reading what the Holy Spirit is saying. Do you realize that? A lot of people want to say, what is the Spirit saying to me? Well, the Spirit's saying to you very clearly. He's saying to you what the Bible's saying. When you open the Bible, you're listening to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Okay? So that's an important thing. A Spirit-led church is a Bible-reading church. And if you want to be led by the Spirit, you read the Bible. Okay, what is the Spirit of God saying to us this morning? Look at what it says. Today, if you hear the Spirit's voice, today, if you hear God's voice, in other words, what he's saying is, God is talking to you today. Listen up. God is talking to you today. Why the emphasis on today? Because it's an important thing. Because the danger for most of us, if God is talking to us, well, maybe not now, I'll listen tomorrow, because I'm just not too convenient. Oh, I'm not going to listen now, but you know, I'll listen when I've got the time or when I'm ready for it or whatever and so on. But when the Bible says here, today, if you hear his voice, the emphasis is that when God is speaking, don't put it off. When God is speaking to you now, don't think that you've got tomorrow, because you might not have tomorrow. When God is speaking, which he is speaking to you now, today, listen up. I'm talking to you. But he gives a warning here. Also, here's. Because it says here, today he hears his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Because that's one of the dangers. If you do not take seriously what he's saying now, and put it off, and put it off, and put it off, then over time, your hearts become hardened. Over time, it just goes in one ear and out the other. Over time, it just goes over and doesn't even rest anywhere. You do not care. Over time, what God is saying here, if you do not listen to me now, over time, it become like me speaking to a brick wall. In fact, that's what God says. What does he say in the past? That is why I was angry with that generation. I kept talking to them, but it was like talking to a brick wall, and I was angry. And what he's saying here, if I was angry then, I'm still angry now if you are not going to listen to me. And you could say it's true here. For those of us who do not believe in the Lord Jesus or about to abandon him, God's saying, don't do that. Listen up. And if you're not going to listen, I'm getting angry. In fact, as he said there, what does he say? So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. You think about how many people came out of Egypt. You know how many? Over 1 million plus, right? How many actually entered into the promised land? Only two people, Joshua and Caleb. Two people. And why is that? Because God had promised to that whole generation, not one of you will come into my promised land because you refused to listen to me. I spoke to you again and again and again, but you refused to listen to me. Therefore, that's it. You're not getting in. And you could say that that's what God is saying to us today. That God is speaking this morning from his word. The Spirit has just spoken. And he's saying to listen up. I'm talking to you. Don't actually ignore me. Because you continue to ignore me, then here's the promise. You're never going to get into my promised land. Strong words. So here's the question then. How do we apply these words today? How do we apply these words today? Well, the word here, again, when you think about it, the message of chapter 3 is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what he says there. Therefore, holy brothers, going back to verse 1, fix your thoughts on Jesus. And so what's he say then? Listen up again. Today we hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts, right? Do not mourn me. But look at also what he says here in verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That's a very strong word that we need to take heed of. How many are you in this congregation now in the danger of developing a sinful, unbelieving heart that's going to take you away from the Lord Jesus? How many of you are doing it? How many are in that danger? Because he says here, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. He wants to make sure that none of us miss out. But I want you to notice how he applies it, what follows. Encourage one another daily. You know what's interesting? When you read that first part, right, you think, okay, that's what I've got to do. But when you read the second part, you know what it's saying? That's what I've got to do for each other. We never think about that, do we? In other words, what he's saying here is, it's not just about you, it's actually about us. It's not just about what you've got to watch out for yourself, it's got about what you've got to watch out for each other. Do you notice that? Listen to that again. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Yes, I know what I've got to do. I've got to watch myself. But encourage one another daily. And why do we need to do that? So that none of you... You know, we come to church and we'll encourage each other, we'll encourage our friends, we'll encourage those people who are comfortable. But the author say no. He says, encourage one another so that none of you, get that in our minds, none of us. It's not simply, I'm going to come to church, I'm going to sit to that person because I'm comfortable with that person. No. He's saying, I come to church because I want to make sure none of us have dropped the ball. And why is this encouragement so important? So that we are not hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Not hardened by sin's deceitfulness. In other words, what's he calling on us to do? We come to church to watch each other's back. That's why we come to church. You remember when we talked about last week about Eastern Airlines? The pilots were so distracted. And what were the consequences? 103 dead. What would have made a difference if there were people in the passenger seats or whatever coming yelling out, hey, we're descending. It would have saved the plane. See, why is church important? You know, we keep thinking of church as a solo sport. I talked about when we went through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's like golf or like tennis or like archery or like cycling. You know, church is often seen like a solo sport. I come to church, I listen to God, I go home. And that's it. But we did not sign up for a solo sport, do you realize that? We signed up for a team sport. We signed up like rowing or football or a team huddle. Church is a team sport. As they often say, the saying goes, the strength of the team is each individual member. The strength of each individual member is the team. The strength of our church is the individual. The strength of the individual is the church. We signed up for team sport. Because when you think about it, what did the author say? Let's encourage one another. Do not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. But encourage one another daily so that none of us misses out. So what is the message today? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Heed God's word. Watch each other's back. Watch each other's back. But I want to give you one simple thing that you can do. When you come to church, let it be known there are people who are now drifting away. And let it be known there are people who will drift away. Maybe not now, but will. And so what is your responsibility so that none of us misses out? You come to church and hear three simple questions that you can ask each other. Maybe during morning tea, before, after, or during the week. What have you been reading in the Bible lately? What is the question that comes from that passage? And what is the challenge that you want to work on? And then you go away and pray for that person. Will you do that? The Bible tells us, what does it tell us? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Listen up. Hear God's word. Watch each other's back. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the great heavenly calling to which you have called us. But Lord, and we give you thanks for Jesus who is better than Moses. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, all of us. Help us to listen to your word and not just simply keep putting it off or delaying it. And help us every time we come to church Sunday or our growth groups or even we have coffee with each other to catch up with each other, to watch each other's back and to ask them, are they drifting away? Are they focusing on Jesus? So that none of us will miss out on our heavenly calling. Amen.